Have you ever considered becoming a pastor or a deaconess? Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, invites you to prayerfully consider a weekend event where you attend classes, talk with students and faculty, and worship at Kramer Chapel. Prayerfully Consider is October 10th through the 12th on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary. For more information, call 1-800-481-2155 or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu. Usually at the end of the day, you don't think about the beginning of all things, but maybe as Christians, we should. Maybe we should reflect upon how God began this creation, what He has done in this creation, how He has entered into the rhythm of this creation that He Himself made to save us, and that He had planned to do this from before the foundation of the world, before there was evening and morning, before there was an earth or a universe, before there was night and day. This rhythm that we live in today is built into creation by God, but the more profound thing is that God would enter it and subject Himself to it for our sakes, to redeem us and this creation as well. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. On this Friday, September the 27th, we're concluding our five-part daily series on evening hymns today, God Who Made the Earth and Heaven. In hour two of Issues Etc., Pastor Will Wheaton will be with us. We'll be concluding another series, a five-part series, on the Nicene Creed. Today we'll be talking about the church and the life of the world to come. That's hour two of Issues Etc. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest in this first hour. He's professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the Concordia Commentary series on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. Dr. Just, welcome back.
Wonderful to be with you after a wonderful summer, and it's good to be back in action talking to you guys at Issues.
We were talking at the very beginning of the series on evening hymns with Pastor Peter Bender. And he had said something in the course of that conversation about how God has built into creation a rhythm, darkness and light, so evening and morning, and that He's also built in that rhythm kind of going day by day, culminating every 7 days in the Sabbath rest. This hymn, God Who Made the Earth and Heaven, seems to build upon that. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I think that's a wonderful way to begin our discussion of this hymn, because it really does begin with the Creator of all things and how it is that our days are definitely ordered by Him. I mean, one of the great kind of principles of the Jewish world was the idea of Seder, which means order, which comes to mean like order of service, Passover Seder. But creation itself was a Seder of God's creation. And Jews were very ordered people, very structured people. And the way in which they structured their days, their weeks, especially around the Sabbath and the feast that they had, indicated to them the very nature of God Himself. And the idea of Sabbath rest is such an important concept, not just for the Jews, but for us. Now, you've heard me talk about how we now worship on Sunday because it's the eighth day, the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection, the end time day. But really, the idea of Sabbath is also the idea of eternity. And you know, you know very well that the book of Hebrews, which was maybe one of the most Jewish of all the New Testament books, has that wonderful sense of that. It's a word that's used nowhere else in the New Testament, sabbatismos, that Sabbath rest that remains for the people of God. And whoever, it says in Hebrews 4, has entered God's rest, has also entered the rest of His works as God did from His. And, you know, this has really kind of resonated in the church throughout the ages. One of the first things I did in my doctoral thesis was talk about Emmaus as the first day of the week and how it contrasted to the Sabbath. And I remember very well quoting Augustine's Confessions, where at the very end, he talks at the end of that incredible book about you know, his own life and what he's been through and where he's come. He talks about the rest on the seventh day. And I just want to read this from Augustine because it's so beautiful, and I think it captures not just this hymn, but the hymns that you've been doing all week. Augustine writes, "Give us peace, Lord God, for you have given us all else. Give us the peace that is repose, the peace of the Sabbath, and the peace that knows no evening." And I think that's what heaven is going to be. It's going to be that Sabbath rest that Jesus, who rested on the Sabbath, took his Sabbath rest in the tomb, that we will rest in him. And I think it's just one of the most wonderful, peaceful ways of thinking of what our journey's end is all about.
What do we know, if anything, about the authors of this text and tune?
Well, this is one of those hymns that has three authors, and it's really hard to find how it all came together, actually. I think the most important thing about this hymn is the tune, which is a good Welsh tune, and in our hymnal it was arranged by Ralph Vaughan Williams, and it was a night tune. It was written for a night Welsh song all through the night, and it's I think, fascinating that it becomes associated then with this hymn, and the authors are either from the 18th or 19th century, so it's an old hymn, and it is a beautifully peaceful tune for a beautifully peaceful hymn, and you just want to rest. You know, some of those Welsh folk tunes are some of the most beautiful tunes ever written, and I think this tune is well known to people from even popular culture, in the sense of, maybe not popular today, but, you know, it's from certain operas. It was used as a Christmas carol. But it is, at least within the Christian canon, most associated with this evening hymn.
With a few minutes here before we hear the first stanza, what are the primary biblical texts, do you think, behind this hymn?
Well, this is a hymn that is really sort of centered in the Psalms, and I think that the overarching psalm for this is one of my favorites, one that I loved reading in the sick room, because I think it so applies to almost anybody in any situation, and that's Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. But then the second verse and third verse, excuse me, the third and fourth verse, really focus on this God who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And that's an interesting thing to think about as we slumber and sleep, that our God is always watching over us. He will keep us from all evil. He will keep our goings in and our comings forth from this time forth, even forevermore. Psalm 91, verses 9 to 12, are also very important here, where we have in that beautiful, beautiful psalm that is used at Lenten season. It's the soldier psalm. But because you have made the Lord God your dwelling place, the Most High, who is your refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And as we all know, the echoes there are, of course, the citation of Jesus from this psalm in the temptation in the wilderness. And the holy angels protecting Jesus from the devil, and as that those holy angels protect us in the evening as we slumber. There are some other references. There's probably a reference to Psalm 32:7. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. And then one New Testament reference in 2 Timothy, and this is kind of that end time eschatological view. Right at the end of that 2 Timothy letter in chapter 4, verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. So that idea of being delivered by God at the end of this hymn into the hands of the Sabbath rest. I think the Timothy is what the hymn writers used as the inspiration for that.
Let's hear the first stanza of this hymn, God who made the earth and heaven. God who made the earth and heaven, darkness and light, you the day for work have given, for rest the night. May your angel guards defend us, slumber sweet, your mercy send us, holy dreams and hopes attend us all through the night. First stanza of the evening hymn, God Who Made the Earth and Heaven. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest on this Friday afternoon, September the 27th. I'm Todd Wilkin. When we come back, we'll get Dr. Just's thoughts on that first stanza. He's professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the Concordia Commentaries on Luke, and the author of the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. You can find out more about these books and their excellent resources from Dr. Arthur Just at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, we'll talk about the first stanza of God Who Made the Earth and Heaven.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. If you designate your Thrivent Choice dollars to Issues Etc. online before October 31st, Thrivent will designate an additional $25 to Issues Etc. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio and give an additional $25 to LPR, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page at issuesetc.org.
Would you like to help your son or daughter achieve their maximum athletic potential? Hi, this is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio. My friend, fellow parishioner, and certified athletic trainer, Kevin Reisick, is the owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. Arch Fitness specializes in sports performance training for middle school to collegiate level athletes. For more information, call Kevin at 618-670-6952. 618-670-6952.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Yeah, Oktoberfest. Not in Munich, but in Kewanee, Illinois, at St. Paul's. Sunday, October 13th to the 15th. If you've never been, you really need to come. It's the best party on the block. And our guest this year is Pastor Todd Wilkin of Issues Etc. We have worship and music, a speaker, and then brats and beer and laughter and loads of fun. Call us at 309-852-2461. Leave your name and phone number and we'll get back to you. Yeah, Oktoberfest.
Mount Zion Lutheran Church in Greenfield, Wisconsin is a congregation of those gathered by the Spirit of the Lord around His saving word and sacraments. At the center of our life together is the divine service of the risen Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain, who takes away the sin of the world. If you are in the Milwaukee area, we invite you to share with us in our Lord's gifts of forgiveness and new life. Services are on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m. For more information, visit our website at MountZionGreenfield.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're concluding our five-part daily series on evening hymns. on this Friday afternoon with Dr. Arthur Jess, the hymn we're looking at, God Who Made the Earth and Heaven. Right before the break, we heard that first stanza. Dr. Jess, what are your thoughts on what it has to say, how it opens this hymn?
Well, everything is in this stanza, and in many ways, it's the stanza that marks the hymn as one of the great hymns that it is. One of the things that we've always sort of made at the heart of our confession is that God is the creator of heaven and earth. I know you're doing a series on the Nicene Creed, and I mean, that's the first article of the creed. And in making heaven and earth, he gave it its rhythm, its darkness, its light, its day for work, and its rest for night. And, you know, one of the rhythms of creation, of course, was you know, radically changed with the fall. The work for the day, we don't really think of work beforehand, before the fall. And so really we see right away that darkness and light have taken on a different character. But, you know, I think all of us appreciate these rhythms that we have in our lives, these rituals. And yet, what is important as we go through the routine of life is to know that God is there. And I find this just to be the most comforting thing now as I get older. And I think it's very comforting for young children, too, that his angels defend us. The fact that holy angels attend us, I find myself praying for that with people, for myself, for my children all the time. And that one of the gifts of God is slumber, is sweet slumber. It's one of the great mercies. And you know how it is with many people who can't sleep or don't sleep well, who don't have good dreams, you know, whose hopes, you know, are dashed and they find themselves anxious at night, how they would yearn for the sweet slumbers that God's mercy can bring, and that they attend us all through the night. I think one of the greatest gifts that God gives is a rest in the night, in sleep, that can refresh and renew us and give us what we need to get through the day. I think what's so beautiful about this verse is that it's so deeply embedded in the biblical mind, and yet it also so captures what it is that is fundamental to our humanity. And so it really is a beautiful integration of Scripture and life in one short verse.
I want your thoughts a little bit, just you mentioned it just a moment ago, but with only a minute or so. It's a prayer for holy dreams and hopes. And I don't know what dreams are. I don't put a lot of stock in what they mean, but I do think I understand kind of a fundamental principle at work in dreams, at least in my case, and that is the anxieties of the day often get poured out in the dreams at night. I very seldom have sweet dreams. Mine are usually fraught with all kinds of worries, imagined and otherwise, and I've just learned to live with that. It doesn't bother me like it did when I was a little kid, but I very seldom have any sweet dreams. It's usually reflective of my fears and my anxieties.
I think I'm the same way. I think most people are. I think sweet dreams are really probably more rare than we might think. And that's why when we have those dark dreams, those what we call nightmares, it's important to be able to know that our hope is in God. Our hope is in His mercy. And to be able, in the midst of those anxieties, just simply, you know, to say, Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. More and more, the older I get, I find when I have those wake-ups in the middle of the night because of a dream or my own anxieties, to simply say the Kyrie again and again and again. And I find myself drifting to sleep in the middle of it. I think that's where our hope is. That's the hopes that attend us, is kind of holding on to the Word of God that we know and that we treasure, and rehearsing that at night. That's why knowing the liturgy and knowing those rhythms that are so much a part of the life of the church, they're fundamental to help us when we have those dreams that do kind of frighten us.
Here is stanza 2 of God Who Made the Earth and Heaven. And when morn again shall call us to run life's way, may we still, whate'er befall us, your will obey. From the power of evil hide us, in the narrow pathway guide us. Never be your smile denied us all through the day. Dr. Jess, the last line there, I think we have a tendency to be a little stoic on these things, maybe because it's been so abused by kind of popular Christianity. But this notion of God smiling, you know, we hear things like Rick Warren or Joel Osteen use that language and we scoff. But there is a biblical precedent for understanding God's countenance upon us, isn't there?
Oh, there is. And I mean, that's the Aaronic benediction that we hear every Sunday, at least in our churches. You know, may he look upon you with favor, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace. I mean, what's so really wonderful about that image is, again, it connects to our humanity. When somebody smiles, it changes everything. It changes the way they look. It changes their, you know, there. So many people are so much more pleasant and beautiful and handsome when they smile, and it's almost like a burst of light, and it brings that hope, that brings that, it just changes the atmosphere, and I mean the idea of God being one who looks down upon us and smiles is just a wonderful image of his love, of his mercy, that he does care for us throughout every second of our day. And that's really what this verse is about, is the fact that we do have days that are going to be hard. And I really feel for people who hate getting up in the morning. I'm one of those very fortunate people who loves what I do. I usually look forward to the morning and getting into the day that I have planned. And it is life's way. And to have the notion that God is with us all the way, that he is present for us because of our baptisms, because of our membership in his body, the church, and that he is in us and we are in him. And that when we act in love and charity, as it says in a sense here, you know, may what still, whatever befall us, your will obey. But we do that because of his presence in us, that he is the one who gives us the capacity to do what is pleasing in his sight. There's also the evil that he hides us from. I mean, you got a sense of that with the holy angels in the first verse, but all those psalms, every one of them, has the fact that God is the protector of his children from the evil one. And that, I mean, that's why that's such an important part of the Lord's Prayer, you know, deliver us from the evil one, from evil. And I know many people make the sign of the cross at that point, because it is in the cross itself that the evil one is defeated. And I think there's such incredible comfort in that. And that is the way in which he smiles on us. I mean, that's how he shows us that he loves us.
With only about a minute here, that line where it talks about being hid from evil, I mean, there's obviously a lot of precedent for that in Scripture, hide me in the shadow of your wings, things like that. But also, I can't help but think about Paul's words in Colossians. You have died and your life is now hidden with Christ
in
God. Yeah. About 30 seconds for your thoughts on that.
Yeah, isn't that a wonderful way of thinking of it? That, and I like to think of it as where we hide is in his wounds. And oftentimes, when the evil hits us, it's because we are suffering. And our suffering causes us to look for a place. I mean, we obviously, what happens in suffering is you can't depend on your normal resources, so you need a place to go. You need a place to hide, so to speak. And to think of oneself hiding in the wounds of Christ, in his suffering, and letting our suffering be, in a sense, absorbed into his suffering as we participate in his suffering through our suffering.
When we come back, my favorite stanza of this hymn, God Who Made the Earth and Heaven, and it has a connection to a common service at the end of the day, the last prayer service that the church observes in its daily prayers, Compline. These are the words, guard us waking, guard us sleeping, and when we die, may we in your mighty keeping all peaceful lie. When the last dread call shall wake us, then, O Lord, do not forsake us, but to reign in glory take us with you on high. Stanza 3 of the evening hymn, God Who Made the Earth and Heaven. When we come back, Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. The latest issues, etc. journal is out, and I've got an article in there that picks up on one of the themes in this hymn, the theme of creation. The article is a little apologetic, a little polemic. It's called More Questions for Old Earth Creationists, people who try to find that halfway house between evolution and all of its ideas about the origins of the world and life and the biblical text. My questions are aimed at, well, sending that old earth creationist back to the text of Genesis to see what God says about the world that he has made. Find out more about it and subscribe to the Issues Etc. journal absolutely free at our website, issuesetc.org. There's a big red button on the right-hand side of the page. You can click on that, enter your email address, and you're subscribed absolutely free to the Issues Etc. journal. When we come back, stanza 3 of God Who Made the Earth and Heaven.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, presents a new book of essays in honor of Daniel Preuss. It's titled Proper Christum, Christ at the Center. This new hardcover book will be out in November and features essays from Issues Etc. regular guests, Matt Harrison, Scott Murray, David Scare, and others. You can save $10 by advance ordering in August or $5 by pre-ordering in September. Check out Proper Christum, Christ at the Center at shop.logia.org.
God is waking, God is sleeping, and
last stanza of the hymn that we're studying on this Friday afternoon, September the 27th, with Dr. Arthur Just, God Who Made the Earth and Heaven. Do I hear echoes of Compline there? Although the words are a little different, Compline's prayer is, guide us waking, guard us sleeping. But do I hear those echoes, Dr. Just?
Oh, you do. I mean, it's the first thing I thought of years ago when I heard this hymn. And, you know, Compline was one of the first things that I did it in my congregation when Lutheran Worship came out in the early 80s. And boy, did people love that, because it's such a wonderfully peaceful, restful service. And I know I've said this on your show before, the opening line of Compline, the Lord Almighty grant us a quiet night and peace at the last. I think everybody should pray that. I mean, that's what that really encapsulates, what these last two verses of this hymn are all about. And of course, I think that's echoed at the end of Compline, when you hear us, guide us waking, O Lord, and guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we might rest in peace. And that is exactly what this hymn wants to tell us. I mean, that's why this is, as you said, your favorite verse. It probably is mine too, because it captures that sense of where we should be at the end of our day. And you said it earlier in the show that isn't it interesting how at the end of the evening we think of the end times. We go back even to the beginning of things and the end of things, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That as we rest ourselves in our beds, we think of our eternal rest in Christ, but also the rest of that first Sabbath when God made the earth and the heavens. This verse, of course, is so important in terms of recognizing that it is peace that we are really seeking in life and in death. And I've always said that the number one word in the liturgy, I mean, at least it occurs more than anything else, and I think it's because it's the reason we come into the presence of God, is to receive that peace that passes all understanding. It's a Lucan word. You know, I'm a Lucan guy. It's, you know, it's spoken at the incarnation with the holy angels at the birth of Jesus, and it's spoken only in Luke when Jesus enters Jerusalem for his death, that heaven and earth are brought together in peace in the person of Jesus through his birth and through his death and resurrection. And this verse, of course, points us to the end, you know. And I think that it's a nice way of putting it, the last dread call shall wake us. I think that's really right. It's the last one, and we do dread it, no matter, you know, how ready we are, because it means the end of a life. But it takes us immediately, you know, to reign in glory, take us with you on high. And why? Because the Lord will never forsake us, because he smiles upon us. He is with us. And that's the great comfort of holy baptism.
Here is the final stanza of the evening hymn, God Who Made the Earth and Heaven. It's a Trinitarian stanza, in fact. Holy Father throned in heaven, all holy Son, Holy Spirit freely given, blessed three in one. Grant us grace, we now implore you, till we lay our crowns before you, till in worthier strains adore you while ages run. Dr. Just, this has so much in it, even though it is so very simple, but that's kind of the best way to end hymns, maybe, with the triune name of God. But this is thrice holy. This is not just an invocation of the Trinity. This is the eternal song of the Sanctus, isn't it?
It is. I mean, what is so wonderful about this hymn, and it's a great choir, and I'm blessed to have two incredible cantors at our seminary and in my church who can play. I mean, they'll be playing in heaven, and when they play this hymn, I mean, they just soar in this verse because it is the thrice holy song of heaven, and it takes us there. It joins our voices to the voices of the angels, archangels, and the whole company of heaven, to those worthier strains where we adore the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with all the saints. And you know, it's interesting how an evening hymn would end like this. You would expect it to end maybe quieter, less, not so robust in its kind of theological ending. But that's what we need in this life. That's what we need as we rest, knowing that we are baptized in the name of the Holy Trinity, that we bear the name of the Holy Trinity upon us, that we live in the Trinitarian life, and that this thrice holy Trinity is even a part of the most mundane tasks that we do, and that is what grace is, the gift of God's presence, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we move from darkness to light, as we move from work in our day and sleep in our nights, as the first verse says. So it is a majestic way to end, but it's all focused in on that word grace, that word in which we see the whole gospel. I mean, in many ways, the whole Lutheran gospel comes through that word. It is where we see that what we have when we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is we have the gift of gifts, the thrice holy Trinity.
Now, you said at the very beginning of our conversation that all these evening hymns, the whole life of the church as it follows this rhythm of creation, aims toward the day where there is no evening. I think what you said, a day with no evening, is that what we find in the last three words there, while ages run? Suddenly in the new creation, it is day, and it is a day that never ends. About 2 minutes or so.
You know, I was pondering those words as I was listening to them sing it, and I thought, as you did, we think alike in this, Todd, that this is that sabbatismo. This is that Sabbath that has no end. This is the eternal Sabbath where there is no end to the ages. Now, that's an almost impossible thing for us to conceive of. But I do think once in a while we do sleep where we are in a state where there is, in a sense, no end. And when we wake suddenly, we're sort of annoyed, disappointed. We're in many ways out of sorts because we are sleeping in that eternal peace, and we hate to have to come out of it. And I think this hymn captures that. With those last three words, while ages run. This is the Sabbath rest that has no evening, that, as Augustine said, sinks toward no sunset. It is the Sabbath rest that we will be with Christ forever, with the Father and with the Spirit, the one who is, as the hymn says, freely given, the three blessed in one. And that is one of the great hopes we have, that we have this eternal rest in which there is nothing but peace, the peace that passes all understanding.
When we come back, we're going to hear the entire evening hymn, God Who Made the Earth and Heaven, and we'll get Dr. Just's final thoughts on it as well. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's Friday, September the 27th, concluding our five-part daily series on evening hymns. God Who Made the Earth and Heaven is the subject of our conversation in this hour. In hour two of Issues Etc., we'll conclude a five-part series on the Nicene Creed with Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We'll be talking about the last part of the Creed, dealing with the church and the life of the world to come. Dr. Arthur Justice, Professor of New Testament and Chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Does the theory of an old earth creation confess what the text of Scripture says about creation? I've written an article for the Fall Issues Etc. journal titled More Questions for Old Earth Creationists. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor David Ramirez details his journey from liberal Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The online Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. We're concluding our five-part daily series this week on evening hymns. The hymn we've studied today, God Who Made the Earth and Heaven. We'll hear the entire hymn here in just a minute and get Dr. Just's final thoughts. I do have one more question about that last stanza. We talked before the break about there being this day where there is no evening. But bottom line, when we say no evening, when Scripture says no evening, isn't it really saying no death?
I think it is. And, you know, one of the things that I did in the commentary on Luke's gospel is I dealt with those 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I had been playing with these ideas from Hebrews and Augustine and the idea of there being on that last day, there is no evening. And I think one of the possibilities of thinking about here is that the final evening, so to speak, the final darkness, is the darkness of the cross, and when that darkness comes, you have, in a sense, the end of Christ's work of recreation, of bringing in the new creation, and what happens at the end of that darkness is that he dies. I mean, he dies at 3 o'clock when that darkness then is lifted. And in his death, there is now no death. That's what baptism's all about, that we die in Christ and we get death over with and we now rise to a life that never ends. And so the eternal Sabbath rest, that comes with his death is a rest, a Sabbath with no evening, precisely because he has died and conquered death by his death. So I think you're absolutely right, Todd. It's actually a brilliant insight by you that this is, in fact, exactly what it means where there is no evening, there is no death.
Let's hear the entire hymn, God Who Made the Earth and Heaven. The James Chorale, under the direction of Dr. Carl Schalk, with the evening hymn, God Who Made the Earth and Heaven. Dr. Just, your final thoughts on this hymn.
I think the hymns of the church in the evening, in many ways, capture as well as any hymnody that we have, the heart of what it means to be a Christian who is united with Christ in holy baptism and who is nourished by him throughout our lives through the preaching of the gospel and the receiving of his holy supper of his very body and blood. They're hymns that speak to the calm and the peace that we have in Christ, that we yearn for, that we don't always feel in our lives, both in the day and in the night, but a peace that still is there, the peace that he accomplished for us by his incarnation and bloody death and glorious resurrection. God's holy angels are protecting us through the night. They are watching over us. They are guarding us while we are sleeping. They are keeping us hidden from the evil one because they are Christ's warriors on our behalf, protecting and keeping us in all our ways. In the service of Compline, there's a beautiful prayer at the very end that I think captures perhaps best what all the evening hymns are trying to speak to us when we sing them. And so I'd like to close with this prayer from Compline. Abide with us, Lord, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. Abide with us and with your whole church. Abide with us at the end of the day, at the end of our life, at the end of the world. Abide with us with your grace and goodness, with your holy word and sacrament, with your strength and blessing. Abide with us when the night of affliction and temptation comes upon us, the night of fear and despair, the night when death draws near. Abide with us and with all the faithful, now and forever. Amen.
Dr. Arthur Justice, Professor of New Testament and Chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ and the Divine Service. Dr. Justice, thank you so much. An excellent conclusion to this series.
Peace be with you, Todd.
Folks, if you've enjoyed our evening hymn series, I know I have, all through this week, let me remind you that Issues Etc. is listener-supported. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. this weekend. You can make a secure online donation at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can make a donation via check. Make that check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support. In Hour 2 of Issues Etc. this Friday afternoon, Pastor Will Whedon will join us. He's Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're going to conclude another series we've been running through this entire week, the series on the Nicene Creed. Today we're going to talk about the church and the life of the world to come. That's Hour 2 of Issues Etc. There are a lot of things that you can pray for at the end of day, at the end of life. But when you think about the end of day, the day is over. It's not coming back. It will soon be past. So what do we pray for? This hymn puts us in the right frame of mind. It says, pray for grace. At the end of all things, whether it's at the end of the day or the end of life, the end of time, what do we need in the end? We need his grace, his undeserved, unmerited, unearned favor, love, forgiveness, mercy, that is found only in one place. And this is the real comfort. If you're like me, I don't often lay my head down in peace at night, but there is peace nonetheless. Why? Because I don't go looking for that peace in my heart. I look for it and find it, as you do too, in Jesus Christ. That's where our peace is. Our peace with God, our peace with one another, our peace at the end of the day, our peace at last, and that peace is found only in the grace that he has earned for us in his death and resurrection at the cross. So when everything is over, whether it be in the day or in your life, we pray for grace through Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour 2 of Issues Etc. in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among His people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.